What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout the show. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints that they have. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins. Helps with memory and focus and energy. I like to chew it really all the time. If I'm driving around showing houses, I just ate a couple mints before the show. So I definitely like it on podcast days. I'll do it, you know, before CrossFit workouts sometimes, sometimes when I'm training in jiu-jitsu. Really, if I ever just need like a quick little pick-me-up and, you know, I don't want to reach for another coffee or energy drink. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And also on behalf of Captain Beer Co., thank you to Zach and Pat Show for always giving us a nice little shout-out space here in these episodes. You know, it's a big, big thing to us is that we have hometown representation. We are made by hand here in St. Louis, Missouri. And, you know, if you're tired of buying men's grooming products that just kind of leave residue on your hands and skin and facial hair and maybe probably a little bit on your clothes too, or you don't really understand what's going into them, or maybe they honestly don't fix the problems you have, like dry skin, patchiness of the beard, low volume of facial hair being able to grow, well, give us a try.
And they smell good too.
Yes. We smell fire.
It'll make your girlfriend want to kiss you.
Yeah. We're thinking about changing it from like, you know, with hope we rise to like, your girlfriend gonna want to kiss you. Yeah.
I like that.
There you go. Yeah.
Your girlfriend gonna want to kiss you. Gonna want to kiss you. What do you think of that one, Gabe?
This is why people think St. Louisans are from the South.
I get it.
Hawk two on that.
Shout out Haley Welch. Hey, dude, you know what? She's making her,
you know, making hay while the sun shines. You
but
know?
Dude, it kind of like fell off fast. Like, yeah, dude, within like the last week, you don't see any of those reels anymore.
Oh, dude, it's crazy how everything these days, it just comes and goes so fast. Even shit like the Trump, you know, assassination attempt. Like, I feel like what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't fucking hear about it anymore. Yeah, you know, three, but still.
Yeah, but in the world of politics, a lot of other things have happened since then. Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race, like,
right.
And that's a big reason why you don't hear about it.
He didn't drop out, he was pushed out.
Yes, he was. Yeah. But the official story is that, well, you know, for the sake of my party, you mean they were going to 25th Amendment your ass, but whatever. Go to my YouTube channel at Murphy Wells to actually see what I have to say about this, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll leave that to you, Murph.
Yeah, have you guys seen the conspiracy theories that wasn't him and that?
Yeah, it's always been a clone.
Yeah, I just think that's funny.
Yeah, they always talk about the earlobes.
It was his earlobes, and then it was like, I heard someone talking about the way he ran up steps was way too gingerly, and like, he, like, you know, looked like it was a 40-year-old man, not the 80-year-old, you know, it was just like all these funny conspiracies.
I mean, dude, it's like watching presidents over, like, the two in my lifetime that I can really look to and say, yeah, they aged dramatically are actually Joe Biden and Barack Obama, like, Donald Trump. He still looks like Donald Trump, but you can tell like he was a lot more orange back in the day.
Yeah.
But like Barack Obama got like noticeably gray.
For sure.
Yeah. And like Joe Biden got like, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but like noticeably decrepit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like he went into the election process in 2020. And I mean, you could tell he was old, but then
he didn't want to do any debates or anything like that. So it's like, you didn't really get to see him. So you didn't know what was really going on with him. And then they bring him out.
They throw him up there in front of a teleprompter, all juiced up on God knows what. And
I mean, dude, he insisted on being out in front of the public. Like he really did, but his like handlers and whatnot were like, are you kidding?
Handlers.
So you guys don't, you, Pat, you use a little bit of Twitter, don't you?
I have a Twitter, but no.
This is the thing, like, you know how you know Donald Trump is actually writing all of his own like social media messages?
Well, just from what they say. I mean, it's like
they're literally, it just sounds like he would actually be speaking and they're in all caps and at the end he always just signs off with MAGA. Like, no, I believe that's actually Donald Trump doing that
for sure.
But, like, Joe Biden's are like these really well thought out, like really clean cut. And it's just like, dude, you're having a 20-year-old intern, right?
Have you seen the one where the chick fucked up and she accidentally posted it on hers her page.
Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yeah. And she posted it and then realized that she hadn't like switched the account. She was supposed to be posting it on his. It just, Yeah.
And she'll get up there and be like, that didn't happen. No, yeah. that did not happen.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, my mom is very political on social media. She just shares things. Where I'm at with all this and what drives me crazy is, like, she didn't say anything. She literally just shared a post that basically took Kamala Harris's quotes and put them as, called them, like, inspirational quotes. And Kamala Harris has had some pretty bad quotes.
Yeah.
And
everything is
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. What will be will not be unburdened by what has been done.
And
by what will be.
By what will be.
And so literally didn't say anything, just shared the post. And someone started commenting on it about how she, like, my mom hates women, all women and all this stuff. And, like, how dare you tear down a woman and things like that. And it's just like,
don't come to my channel.
It's not just that, but it's like, didn't the left just tear down Melania Trump and any female that was thought differently than them? Like, the hypocrisy in politics, both sides.
Yeah.
Pisses me. It just drives me nuts. This is why I focus on what is going to affect what I do. As a business.
Well, so. I mean, we're tribalistic creatures, you know. I mean, that's really what it all boils down to is this is my team, this is your team, you know, they're the other. It's just constantly othering people, you know. I think that's what kind of it boils down to, because I mean, you got to think of how we evolved, you know. We evolved in these, you know, small tribes, and you know, it's still pretty recent that, well, it's very, very recent that, you know, you can just put your thoughts out there and everybody can comment on it.
Right.
And I mean, the whole world just hasn't adjusted to that. I mean, you know, we're not socially equipped, like, mentally to handle, you know, millions of people hearing what you have to say.
Not just that, but, like, think about the different media structures that inundate us all day, every day. Like, how much you look at your phone, how many advertisements you see a day, how many political opinions are out there, and how many people are trying to persuade you to come into their side.
See, and that's the thing is, like, I think that's the problem is, like, too many people are trying to persuade the other person to come over, like. Not like it's not, especially on social media, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. No, you're not, I'm, like, not going to read this post and be like, you know what? Everything I've ever thought is just wrong.
Right. And well, and that's right. Exactly. And that's the thing is, like, if we were to bring somebody on here that wanted to talk politics, that thought differently than what I thought, and we could have a conversation and talk about it, I would be for that.
But here's the thing, I bet there's a bunch of shit that you guys would probably agree on.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know? That's the thing. Like, that's the thing is, like, I guarantee you there's probably more that we would agree on than wouldn't. And that's another thing is just, like, I'm not going to sit here and talk, like, just throw my views out there without being able to have a conversation with somebody about it. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why we don't really go into politics. I think you and I think very similarly in our politics. So it's like, you know, until we can have somebody on here that's going to give us a conversation in terms of that has a differing view, I'm not really going to speak to it.
Well,
I'm not
going to
sit here and throw out my political thoughts on things. And I don't know.
I mean, it's also something that I don't think you or I are, you know, I mean, I'm not super educated on it, to be completely honest. Like, Murph, you obviously that's something you pay way more attention to than we do.
Right.
You know,
good for you.
It's like, yeah. And it just,
it's infuriating.
Right. And I just don't, it doesn't interest me that much. Like, I pay attention to the shit that's going to kind of like affect my life, you know, and that's kind of where I live.
And a lot of the stuff though is just, like, so social now, but, like, for me, like, I want to pay attention to the things that are economic policies, because those are things that will have a major impact on what we do. And that's where I'll chime in and say things that I don't agree with. And here's the thing is, like, you know, there's problems on both sides of the aisle. So it's not like I'm dead set one way or the other on that. I mean, I think both sides has their issues when it comes to economics. But, you know, I know that both sides are trashing the Fed. But quite frankly, based on how things have gone and where we're heading, like, they haven't done that bad of a job with what's going on. I mean, it's very easy to sit here and be an armchair
quarterback.
Yeah. But I mean, looking at how and, like, the information that they're given and what they have to work with and the decisions that they have to make. Now, do I like that they have as much power as they have over our financial systems? Fuck no. But they have, in my opinion, I think they have done a pretty decent job of, one, getting inflation down. Two, I think they could have reduced the Fed fund rate a little sooner, but that's neither here nor there. But ultimately, you know, and then in terms of trying to like the unemployment rate and job creations and things like that, you know, I don't think they've done a terrible job for what they were having to navigate through. No one's ever navigated through COVID, and they're having to go through the backlash of all the financial planning that was and all the chaos that was brought about because of COVID. But I think they've done a pretty decent job all in all with where we're at.
So, I don't blame the Fed as much as I blame a wasteful, trigger happy government. Like,
agreed.
You know, I don't, when I think of the problems we're dealing with as a country right now, I don't look at like just Jerome Powell and I say, you're the bad guy. Like,
no.
If anything, I look at what's her name? Janet Yellen. I look at someone more like Janet Yellen.
Who's the Secretary of Treasury.
The Secretary of Treasury. And like, you're sitting here telling us that like inflation is going to be transitory. And like, that was not transitory.
No.
And it's just like, I look at the cabinet, I look at the administration we have,
right.
And you know, you can even see it in the marketing. It's just one of these things where these people are out of touch with like what's in reality.
Well, that, but also, I mean, we have split Congress, you know, and so both have to agree on something for it to work. And now that's where you're starting to see like shit getting slid into these bills to get things passed. And, you know, that's where I have the problem. Our government spending is insane. There are certain things that we've spent money on that I don't think we should have spent money on. And it's caused inflation to rise here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this Biden economics or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Bidenomics working, folks.
I mean, or this build back better stuff. Like,
I don't see it.
Yeah. I mean,
I think whenever it comes to, kind of like the conversation of like, what was the thing you said right before the Bidenomics? What was the point you just made?
The Congress being split and things being slid in bills to get things passed.
So to kind of like try to like bring that person who's kind of like apolitical, who really cares about economics and who like hates hearing about the social shit. That statement you made right there is something that actually should implore them to look to like that next little bit level deeper, because a lot of people have heard this narrative that like, oh, well, Democrats put forth a border bill and Republicans all sided with Donald Trump and didn't actually go through with it because they wanted to make Biden look bad. But it's like, well, no, here's the deal. It's like, that wasn't just a border bill. There was money being sent to other countries that a lot of people, not only in Congress, but specifically from the populace, didn't want that money to go out. So the money that was actually being put towards the border didn't actually do anything besides like hire a few more agents and actually gave money to NGOs to process criminal migrants and faster and actually maybe even give them amnesty. That's why that bill didn't go through. So for the people who really do want to listen to those economics issues and they want to leave behind the social, you have to realize something. More than half of your government is more focused on social issues because those social issues make them money.
Well, that's the thing is like, I could give two shits about the social stuff. Whatever you want to do, whoever you want to do in your spare time or whatever, you like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm all for freedom.
Yeah.
You know, like that's all
you
I
are who
about.
You are. You know, but like, when it comes to the economic side of things and it's hurting everyday people from being able to live their lives, that's where I have an issue.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the excess spending that's been done over the last, you know, few years and things that have been slid into bills and stuff like that have done that. Like, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's just something that has put a damper on our economy. And I think it's things that need to change and how we change it. I don't know if one candidate's better than the other, but, and I know that something needs to change
for sure.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's not what we were going to talk about today.
But yeah,
we got started. Yeah, whatever.
But anyway, yeah, we were today's a book review episode. So this month, Pat and I read Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Laith Babin. This is like, I think the third time I've gone through this one. This is like one of my favorite books for sure.
I love all their books.
This is the only one I've read. I've read it is like, I think the third time.
Well,
I'm excited
let's
to read the
keep,
next one.
Keep the train going and next book do Dichotomy of Leadership because that's the second one that came out for him. No, it's great. I like how they take stories from their time serving and to explain the principle of what it is that they're trying to teach. And then afterwards, they correlate it to how it works in business.
Right. Because after these guys are Navy SEALs, and after they retired from the military, they essentially made this company called Echelon Front that goes in and in
leadership
leadership coaching within businesses, and you know they've array of different businesses from finance to whatever.
Right.
And you know, they just, they tell like, you know, stories of times where they went into the business and this was the problem that they, in that they encountered. And then they do a story based on, you know, their time serving. It's just so good.
It's just a great read. It's not a difficult read, but it's interesting because, yeah, because they are telling these real life stories of them fighting and the different and different missions that they were on and how they basically talk about a principle that they want to talk about. Like they start off with the principle and then it goes into the story of them in the military. And then from there, how applicable.
Application of business.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, they do some, like the overall aspect of extreme ownership is that as a leader, you're in charge of everything, good, bad, ugly, like that's on you. You take the ownership, whether it's good, it's bad, like that's on you. And which is true. I mean, a good leader. And I think, you know, the examples they keep talking about was, you know, or what they said is like my favorite story in the book was when they were talking about one of the SEAL teams and how they were in the competition. Mm. And there was that one SEAL team that was just killing everybody.
Right, they were, it was during their buds, mm-hmm. Where they're, you know, having to do the boat races and carry those. It's like a 6-man team.
Yep.
And each they're doing the boat races where they have to run with this. It's a 200-pound inflatable boat. It's 200 pounds without any sand or water in it. And they're filling it up and making it heavier. And the six guys have to race down the beach with these boats. And
it's like a mile long run or something,
right,
like that.
And, you know, the team that came in first place and the team that came in last place, they essentially just swapped the leaders. And, you know,
the team that was in last place then ended up winning.
Came in first because they switched the leader.
The other team finished second. And it just goes to show, like, that leader of the first team, when he was with them, installed all these principles and did everything that needed to be done to prepare these guys on how to win, that even when the leadership changed, that they still had the groundwork to go off of to be successful. And then when this leader took over the losing group, changed everything and put the groundwork into place for them to be successful, they were successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that leader, you know, they're just a bad leader. You know, so, but yeah, taking that ownership when things go wrong, own up to it. Hey, I fucked up. Time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, and how do we fix it? So like, I mean, the outlines that we have on here,
it's so easy to, you know, whenever you're in some sort of leadership position to kind of point fingers mm-hmm. and like, say like, no, this guy wasn't doing his job. Well, no, it wasn't you. That guy wasn't doing his job because you weren't making sure that he was doing his job, and that ultimately comes back on you.
Absolutely. You and know? So like that's all chapter two is, it's no bad teams, only bad leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's what that dives into. And you know, each one of these just builds on the next, but like you have to believe, you know, you got to believe in the mission at hand, whether you don't agree with it or not. So like, I think you told the story about how they were going to have to go into Ramadi with
Iraqi soldiers using Iraqi soldiers
that were way untrained. And you know, he's talking about how these guys, they're not the most loyal people. They're not trained at all.
Right. He said, I remember there was one instance where he said that the guy was running, retreating from and just shooting behind him blindly with his head.
Yeah. With the AK-47 while other
SEALs are
downrange from him, which is very easy to, you know, it's going to kill somebody.
Right.
So obviously, you know, making your team understand and asking the right questions. Really the biggest thing was like that they talked about was just like ask questions,
mm-hmm.
like continue to ask why.
Ask questions. And I think it also whenever you're explaining things, make things as simple as possible.
Oh yeah.
I think
keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. And that's in chapter six where they talk about keeping it simple.
Yeah.
You know, no need to complicate things and all that. And
yeah. Cause they were talking about the one, I forget what the name of the guy that the, one of the teams that they were, he was not with the SEALs, but they were teaming up, and mm-hmm. essentially that guy was wanting to go through this really complicated route through the city.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, this is, we don't know where IEDs are. We're not going to have cover fire from any of our support. You know, this is our first time going this route. Let's just keep it simple. Let's just go this way. And then they ended up running into like a bunch of firefights, and they ended up needing all this extra support. And then, you know, and then that leader, whenever they got back, he's like realized that, you know, if they would have went the way that he wanted, that wouldn't have gone well.
Right. And then like the other important part is being able to check your ego. But yeah, checking your ego. So like you can't let your pride get in the way of what the mission is, you know, whether it's you're in the battlefield or you're in the battlefield of work or business. Keep that ego in check. Understand that you're not going to be perfect and that you're going to make mistakes and just own up to it. The cover and move, I think that was another one where
they're trying to remember how did they apply that one to business? But the whole concept of cover and move, I mean, in the military is like, all right, well, if it's a team of four SEALs and they're trying to get from point A to point B, you know, the two of the SEALs is covering the other two while they move and they essentially like leapfrog down the battlefield. You know, like the two run ahead, the two stay behind and cover, and then the other two run ahead and the other two stay behind. Just a way to like traverse the battlefield.
And then prioritize and execute. So obviously, you know.
Yeah, figure out your most important things. Your non-negotiables.
Right.
You know, exactly. We've talked about that many times. I feel like that's, you know, that applies right there for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then decentralized command. So.
Yeah, they say, you know, you can only effectively lead like 4 to 6 people, you know, so it's like you gotta, you know, if you're, you know, it's not possible or not, you're not going to be an effective leader if you're leading, you know, a group of 100 people, for instance. No. You know, you need to break it up into smaller groups and have those smaller groups have a leader, and that leader then reports to the next person, and that person, you know, it goes up the chain of command.
And I think they applied that. They were talking with the business where they were looking at two different regions or two different managers, and one manager had 21 people and the other one had 2. Mm. And the one with 21 was because he was a better manager and they produced more, where the other one was a weaker manager and those were a lesser, like weaker producers. So it's like, well, let's reformat this and change it to where we've got more managers over smaller groups, and it actually helped the business grow.
Yeah. Oh, so. And then the keep it simple part, I remember where they were applying that to business, where they were working with this company and they had a really complicated like bonus commission structure, and like nobody understood, you know, like every month it was like, I sold the same amount of units, but I had a $3,000 bonus last month. And then this month I have a $6,000 bonus, and I don't know what I did different because I sold the same amount of units and this and that. And, you know, then eventually they reformulated it and made it like, all right, well, if you sell, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like very clear goals. Like, all right, this is the most important thing. I'm going to focus on this. If this number's high, my bonus is directly going to reflect that.
Right. Planning. So just like anything, you know, obviously you want to plan, but you don't want to over plan. You know, it all kind of ties together, keeping the plan simple.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can understand what it is that needs to be done and execute. And then leading up and down the chain of command. So even like your low level man, I think this was the one where they were talking about how the CEO implemented a new pay structure that was going to get rid of lesser producing.
Yeah.
And those lesser producers were going to get weeded out, but the managers were like, well, why are we doing this? They didn't want to ask the questions on why things were happening the way they were, and because they didn't want to feel stupid.
Mm.
And so eventually they got the CEO down there, and the CEO was talking to him about why she was wanting to do this. And then it all made sense for them to get on board, and basically like your lower level managers taking control and making the decisions to like, hey, even though you're not.
Oh yeah. No, I remember the,
decentralized command.
No, the decisiveness. I remember the story in regards to when they were in Ramadi.
Yeah.
It was and it was Chris Kyle was looking at this, like he saw, kept seeing a figure in like a window several meters down, and they thought it was, you know, an enemy sniper, and they were like, you know, they apparently like all the teams there have the same battle map and every building was marked with a number. And, you know, they thought that build, you know, they were about, you know, the Marines were like, you know, kill that, you know, kill that sniper. You know, he's going to take out one of my guys. You got to, you know, we got to take care of him. And they're like, well, and Chris Kyle didn't want to pull the trigger because he wasn't able to positively identify the target.
Well, then I think the person in the other location was then looking at them.
Yeah. They were looking at each other essentially. Yeah. And like they were just off on which building was the number of the building on the map. Because it's like, they're like, it's really hard to, you know, look at these maps and then look at the street. There's no street names. There's no, like, all these buildings look very, very similar. It's like really easy to mix things up. And I feel like there was multiple chapters on that of like them, you know, of friendly fire being like, I mean, you know, they say it multiple times. That's like the worst thing that you can do.
Right.
And, you know, like avoiding that at all cost. And, I mean, obviously they avoided it there, but it's, you know, I could imagine how that could be super, super confusing. You know, when you're looking at this battle map and everybody's, you don't know who's who, and you know, it's so far away, you can't tell if that's someone.
Yeah. Then it heads into the last chapter, which is Discipline Equals Freedom, the Dichotomy of Leadership. So basically, so staying disciplined in what you're doing, which is a whole nother book that he's written. Same thing with the Dichotomy of Leadership, which is what we're going to do next. But ultimately, it just kind of dives into that about how, you know, as a leader, you know, sometimes you don't need to lead. You can let other people lead, sit back and learn from them as a leader. And let those people make those decisions. And if you know, because how are they going to learn?
Mm-hmm.
And you let those people make those decisions. And if it's something that, you know, they come back and they explain to you what the plan is, then you can step in and be like, all right, well, let's take a look and change this, this, and this.
Have you thought about this?
Yeah. So yeah.
That's great, dude. I love this book, mm-hmm. man. It's, there's so many like great, it's such an easy read. It's like, there's so many good principles that I feel like just can apply to just about everybody.
Absolutely.
Man. I mean, like I could totally like relate to myself. Like I could relate to almost every chapter, you know,
for sure. It's just like how can I apply this to myself?
My life? Yeah, yeah, dude. Cause it's shit that I do all the time for sure. You know, I catch myself, you know, like all the time doing these little things. And it's so easy to fall into those traps. And like, it's like, you have to like fight your natural, you know, inkling sometimes,
right.
Like your automatic thought, like your first thought sometimes is definitely not the right one.
Well, I think it ultimately comes down to no one wants to look stupid and look like an idiot. So you're, as a leader, like you definitely don't want to look stupid, especially in front of the people that you lead. But at the end of the day, those people are going to have more respect for you. If you realize like, hey, I fucked up. This is on me. This isn't on you. This is how I should have coached you or trained you better to be, to understand this situation. And so ultimately it always comes back on the leader. Like, hey, if someone on your team fucks up, well, you didn't have them adequately prepared for that situation. So ultimately that does come back on you.
Right.
So, but no, I'm excited for this next one because it has my favorite quote in it of all time. So, your action and your inaction always has a consequence.
Good.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. So,
yeah, I'm excited to read this next one because I've read, like I said, I've read this one like three times, but I've never read any of these other books.
Yep.
So yeah,
they're really good. Again, all about leadership, which as men, you know, we want to be leaders.
For
sure. That's what we're, you know, that's who we are. You know, dating all the way back to when we were cavemen, you know, we're leading our groups and our tribes. And, you know, that's how it is today. You know, it's, and not taking anything away from women or anything like that, but when, you know, speaking for men, you know, you want to lead a good life and it starts with you. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think can apply to everyday life, whether it's business or just your personal life. And, you know, it's a great book. I highly recommend people reading it. I highly recommend reading all the books. So yeah, I mean, are you good with starting Dichotomy or Leadership?
Let's do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. I need to make sure. I think that one's at home. Yeah, I know exactly where that one's at. So I
need to buy that one.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So.
All right, guys. That was a quick one today. Remember to subscribe, comment what you guys thought below. Get the Dichotomy of Leadership by Jocko Willink and read it with us this past month. And we'll do a podcast on it at the end of August. So be on the lookout for that.
Jeez, it's already August.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. This year's gone by quick.
Flying, baby.
Yep.
All right, guys. We will see you next time.